today's scripture is from Proverbs 31, verses 1 through 9. The sayings of King Lemuel, an inspired utterance his mother taught him. Listen, my son. Listen, son of my womb. Listen, my son, the answer to my prayers. Do not spend your strength on women, your vigor on those who ruin kings. It is not for kings, Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, not for the rulers to crave beer, lest they drink and forget what has been decreed and deprive all the oppressed of their rights. Let beer be for those who are perishing, wine for those who are in anguish. Let them drink and forget their poverty and remember their misery no more. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and the needy.
Should be a strike through Father there. Showed up in Keynote, didn't show up in PowerPoint. If you'll look on your bulletin, though, there's an outline in there that has it correct. From Charles Swindoll comes this illustration. I smile as I remember the Mother's Day card I saw that was really cute. It was a great big card written in little child's printing, little first grade printing. And on the front was a little boy with untied sneakers. He had a wagon, and toys were everywhere. He had a little cut on his face, and there were smudges all over the card. And it read, Mom, I remember that little prayer you used to say for me every day. And then inside it read, God help you if you ever do that again. Years ago, there was a sitcom on TV. It was titled Father Knows Best, and that starred Robert Young and Jane Wyatt, and the idea was that whenever their three children, Betty, Bud, and Kathy, you know, needed advice, they could always go to their father because Father knows best. But in my experience, it is really the mother who seems to know best. Now, you know, I'm sure you can argue that either way, so don't come up afterwards and talk to me about that. But being a mother, however, is one of the greatest blessings and challenges and privileges of life. You know, in Bible times, motherhood was pretty prestigious. I mean, if you were not a mother, in Bible times, it was shameful in that culture. Women felt useless if they could not bear children. And I don't know if you've ever wondered, you know, when you think about some of the mothers and children in the Bible, you know, you wonder if Rebecca explained to Jacob the importance of his birth and the promise that God had made to her about him. And have you ever thought about the words of wisdom that Hannah might have given to Samuel every year when she would visit him at the tabernacle? And wouldn't you have wanted to be a fly on the wall or the tent or whatever in Jesus' home? And to hear the conversations between Mary and Jesus. You know, most mothers never really stop teaching their children, no matter how old their child is. My children's mother takes the subtle approach. She simply asks questions. Sure, that's a good idea. Should you do this maybe instead of that? And so this morning I want to share with you some words of wisdom from a mother to her adult son in Proverbs 31. And this mother's words were so profound or significant that her son had them recorded for posterity. In fact, they are the words of God. Now, many mothers, when they hear about, you know, he's going to talk about Proverbs 31. Not the worthy woman, the one that makes us feel so unworthy. No, the worthy woman begins in verse 10. I'm going to focus on verses 1 through 9 of Proverbs 3 that was just read. This is a mother whose son became a king. And just like a lot of mothers, she wanted her son to be successful. And, And so she had some words of wisdom to impart to her son, even though he was an adult and he was her king. Now, keep in mind that no matter how old you are, if your mother is still living, she's still wiser than you are. Something all of us need to remember. There were three main lessons that this mother wanted her son to learn that she obviously believed were critical to his success as a ruler. And the first lesson is it begins in verses 2 and 3. And her first words in verse 2 are, you know, rather emphatic. Listen, my son. Son of my womb, listen. Listen, my son, the answer to my prayers. Because what she has to say, she believes was critical to him. As far as his success as a king was concerned. So she wants him. She says, listen to me. And then in verse 3, she says, do not spend your strength on women, your vigor on those who ruin kings. Now, you let Lemuel's mother here, she's not instructing him to avoid marriage. She's warning him about forbidden women, such as foreign wives, which is what ruined Solomon, and also the adulteress. Solomon warned about the adulteress earlier in Proverbs 5, 8 through 10. He said, stay away from such a woman. Don't even go near the door of her house, or you will give your riches to others, and the best years of your life will be given to someone cruel. Strangers will enjoy your wealth, and what you work so hard for will go to someone else. That was Solomon's wisdom. And so this wise mother understood the power and privilege of her son's position and the temptation to take advantage of that power and privilege to the detriment of his own life. She knew how destructive sexual sin was and how reputations and marriages and careers are often destroyed by succumbing to that temptation. If you don't have the strength to govern your own life, how are you fit to rule with the lives of others? And that's why Paul explained to Timothy that, when you choose a man to serve as an elder, make sure he's, good at managing his own family. Because if he's not very good at managing his own household, how is he going to be able to manage the household of God? So this mother was probably aware, maybe, what happened to David's family as a result of his adultery with Bathsheba. She may have been aware of what caused Solomon's downfall. 1 Kings 11, verse 1 indicates that King Solomon loved many women who were not from Israel. And then in verse 4, three verses later, it says, as Solomon grew old, his wives caused him to follow other gods. Sexual immorality is destructive, not only to the persons who engage in it, but also to family members of both extended families. It doesn't just affect two people. It affects many people. And it also has an impact on society. We know that because we can see what's going on in society. Here is an incomplete list of what you have in store after your immorality becomes known. Your mate will experience the anguish of betrayal, shame, rejection, heartache, and loneliness. And no amount of repentance will soften those blows. Your mate can never again say that you are a model of fidelity. Suspicion will rob her or him of trust. Your escapade will introduce to your life and your mate's life the very real probability of a sexually transmitted disease. The total devastation your sinful actions will bring to your children is immeasurable. Their growth, innocence, trust, and healthy outlook on life will be severely and permanently damaged. The heartache you will cause your parents, your family, and your peers is indescribable. The embarrassment of facing other Christians who once appreciated you, respected you, trusted you, will be overwhelming. And if you're engaged in the Lord's work, you will suffer immediate loss of your job and the support of those with whom you work. The dark shadow will accompany you everywhere and forever. Forgiveness won't erase it. Your fall will give others license to do the same. The inner peace you enjoyed will be gone. You will never be able to erase the fall from your or others' minds. This will remain indelibly etched on your life's record, regardless of your later return to your senses. The name of Jesus Christ, whom you once honored, will be tarnished, giving the enemies of the faith further reason to sneer and jeer. That was a list written by Charles Swindoll in his book, Sanctity of Life. This actually really happened to a minister in Kansas City where a number of my family members go to church. And he was a senior minister and was forced to step down as a result of his sexual immorality. Moms, you already know this. You should not be afraid to speak frankly about this subject with your children because you want them to know and follow God's plan, not the world's plan. So the first lesson King Lemuel's wise mother imparted to her son was the lesson of fidelity. Fidelity is about faithfulness, and if you can't be faithful in your personal life, you really can't be trusted as a leader. So the second lesson King Lemuel's wise mother imparted to her son is expressed in the verses 3 and 4 of Proverbs 30:31. Kings should not drink wine, Lemuel, and rulers should not desire beer. If they drink, they might forget the law and keep the needy from getting their rights. You don't have to be a drinker to know that alcohol impairs one's judgment. If you've ever been around someone who's intoxicated, they do and say really stupid things. Hosea 4:11 indicates that wine takes away understanding. Years ago in the Houston Chronicle, there was an article about what an effective solvent alcohol is. And the article began this way. Alcohol is a product of amazing versatility. It will remove stains from designer clothes. It will also remove clothes off your back. If by chance it is used in sufficient quantity, alcohol will remove the furniture from the home, rugs from the floor, food from the table, lining from the stomach, vision from the eyes, and judgment from the mind. Alcohol will also remove good reputations, good jobs, good friends, happiness from children's hearts, sanity, freedom, spouses, relationships, man's ability to adjust and live with his fellow man, and even life itself. As a remover of things, alcohol has no meaning. You know, people who are in positions of authority like this king was, they have to make a lot of important decisions and judgments. And it's difficult enough to make the right decision, let alone when you're impaired. And when good decisions and judgments are not given, there's a fallout. It has far-reaching implications. I worked for an alcoholic for a number of years, so I have some familiarity with the problems it creates. So King Lemuel's mother indicates in Proverbs 31, 6 and 7 that alcohol really should be reserved for medicinal purposes. You know, it reads, give beer to people who are dying and to wine to those who are sad. Let them drink and forget their need and remember their misery. You know, you remember Paul advised Timothy in 1 Timothy 5:23, he said, stop drinking only water, but, you know, drink a little wine to help your stomach and your frequent sicknesses. Now, as I've shared with you in the past, there's nothing wrong with consuming alcohol. I mean, Jesus turned water into wine. We all know that. But, alcohol is consumed in larger quantities and more frequently. It causes problems. And, you know, we all know what problem it is. sexual immorality, gave him some good advice about alcohol. Avoid it. Third lesson King Lemuel's wise mother impressed upon her son is indicated in verses 8 and 9. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Defend the rights of all who have nothing. Speak up and judge fairly and defend the rights of the poor and needy. So Lemuel's mother, she wasn't just a wise mother, she was also a very godly mother. She was kind of echoing the words of God. In fact, they are the words of God. In just a couple of chapters earlier in Proverbs 29:7, it reads, good people care about justice for the poor, but the wicked are not concerned. You know, back in that day and time, and I think I've shared this in the past, people used money to bribe judges to receive a favorable ruling. So if you didn't have a lot of money, you probably weren't going to get justice. If you don't think that happens here today, think again. There was an editorial comment that appeared in the Columbus Dispatch a number of years ago. It was written in response to a judge who dropped the charges of driving under the influence for the president of the Fraternal Order of Police. The writer was Jerry Lucas. I don't know if it was the Jerry Lucas, but that's who the writer was. But this is what he wrote. Leif Bickel, president of the Fraternal Order of Police, Capital City Lodge No. 9, must have great friends in the judge, prosecutor, and other officers, and a witness who refused to testify. When you can drive a car owned by the FOP on Route 104 and hit two mailboxes, go into a ditch, run over shrubs and a tree, and come to rest in a field, smelling of alcohol and slurring your words, and a judge decided the arresting officers were the ones who made the mistake, injustice has reached an all-time high. So it happens. It still happens today. We all know that money talks in this world, and sometimes it does more than talk, it shouts. You know, one of the reasons that God sent Jesus to us, according to Isaiah 42, verse 1, was really to bring justice. You know, it says, behold my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. We know that God has a heart for people who are not treated justly. And ruling justly is the most important attribute any ruler or judge could possess. A ruler who judges justly will be greatly loved and respected and admired. So I think you can see how wise King Lemuel's mother was. I mean, she knew what attributes her son needed to succeed. She didn't talk to him about politics, you know, or advise him on how to rule. You know, she didn't ask him for any personal favors. Instead, she shared with him simply practical wisdom that would enable him to be the kind of king that would bring glory to God. Proverbs 1, verse 8. Hear, my son, your father's instruction. Forsake not your mother's teaching. They are a graceful garland for your head, pendants for your neck. In other words, your father, especially your mother's teaching, will greatly enhance your life and your reputation. The teaching of a wise mother. Absolutely priceless. Someone once said, mothers, it's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth every hour of it. It's worth every sleepless night of it. It's worth every moment of counsel. I was blessed to have a really good mother. And I know not everyone is so blessed. And I realize that this day is painful for some. But I believe we can be thankful that God created a mother, because none of us would be here if she hadn't, right? There are no perfect mothers, but there are a lot of really good ones. There's a lot of Unfortunately, we serve a God who established justice, and he will judge justly on the last day. And the only people who will receive a not guilty judgment are those who put their faith in Jesus. So if you're not in Christ, you're condemned already. But there's still time. The fact that we're here today means there's still time to receive his mercy. And if you're a wayward child who didn't really follow your mother's advice, I encourage you to make a mom really happy today and come back. And we're here to help you do that this morning. As we sing this next song, it's an opportunity for you to repent. It's an opportunity for you to change the course of your life. It's an opportunity to receive forgiveness. And someday,